Our Old Testament reading this morning comes from the book of Jeremiah, chapter 31, verses 7 through 9, on page 734 of your pew Bibles, if you want to follow along. The Lord proclaims, "Sing joyfully for the people of Jacob. Shout for the leading nation. Raise your voices with praise and call out, 'The Lord has saved his people, the remaining few in Israel. I'm going to bring them back from the north. I will gather them from the ends of the earth. Among them will be the blind and the disabled, the expectant mothers and those in labor. A great throng will return here. With tears of joy they will come. While they pray, I will bring them back. I will lead them by quiet streams and on smooth paths so they don't stumble. I will be Israel's father." This ends the reading of our Old Testament for the day.
Our gospel reading for today comes from the book of Mark, 10th chapter, beginning at the 46th verse. "And as Jesus and the disciples came to Jericho, and as Jesus was leaving Jericho with his disciples and a great crowd, Bartimaeus, a blind beggar, the son of Timaeus, was sitting by the roadside. And when he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to cry out, saying, 'Jesus, son of David, have mercy on me.' And many rebuked him, telling him to be silent. But he cried out all the more, 'Son of David, have mercy on me.' And Jesus stopped and called and said to him, 'Call him.' And they called the blind man, saying to him, 'Take heart, get up, Jesus is calling you.' And throwing off his cloak, he sprang up and came to Jesus. And Jesus said to him, 'What do you want me to do for you?' And the blind man said to him, 'Rabbi, let me recover my sight.' And Jesus said to him, 'Go your way, your faith has made you well.' And immediately he recovered his sight and followed Jesus on the way." This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Now, Saturday is not necessarily a big day, a big social day in the life of any pastor, as you can imagine. And like many other pastors, on Saturday I take that time to make sure that the service has come together, that the sermon makes sense, that the liturgist has their prayers and everything else. And so I'm sitting there yesterday, and I'm really thinking, I got to have a really good sermon, okay? This is like Irma's first day here, even though she's heard me preach before, and it wasn't one of my best, so I have to make up for lost time. And Neil's here, and Zoa and Mia are going to wonder, okay, what's this church that you've become a part of? And so I thought, man, I'm going to have the best Reformation sermon. Hey, Jim, what happens when you start thinking that way? Yeah, Other ministers in this place know how to laugh at that. So I'm getting started, and I'm feeling really good. I have a thought. Becky and I have talked. Irma and I have talked. And I thought, okay, I think I've got something going on here. And then all of a sudden, beep on my phone. Now, getting beeps on my phone is not at all unusual. I get them all the time. I try and keep my phone on me just in case there is a problem. Beep. And it kept beeping all day yesterday. Now, first was good news, okay? We had several folks beeping off the Facebook page wanting to know what time did Trunk or Treat start. Now, I've never had that before. We didn't have it on the bazaar, I think because we were all so faithful about liking and sharing the page. And folks who've been coming to the bazaar know that if you're not in line by 6 o'clock, you got leftovers, right? But beep. So I have what seems to be mothers texting me, beeping me from the Facebook page. Now, what time is your trunk or treat? So that's when I changed all the sliders on the Facebook page yesterday, in case you saw that, so that people who were looking at our Facebook page could know what time trunk or treat started. I thought, well, good. Now things will get back to normal. Beep. Beep. Now, it's been a hell of a week, as you know. Apparently, we have the trifecta of shootings and bombs and whatever. And so I'm looking at my phone, and I'm concerned that something else had happened, and indeed it had. If you were aware of the bombing in the synagogue, which ironically happened in Mr. Rogers' neighborhood, I was so proud of the Presbyterian Church there for stepping forward and doing the memorial service. And so after a couple little things of beep and texting back and forth with the rabbi in this community who I'm friends with, I thought, great, now I can get on and I can worry about the sermon and impressing our new music minister, because I don't have the credentials in theology that she has in music, so I figured I had to make up for it in some way. Beep. Well, how interesting it was that members of the congregation were now beeping me about the Florida-Georgia game. Now, you can't blame the Georgia fans, okay? You really can't blame the Georgia fans, because they have so little in their life that brings them joy, being a Georgia fan. But they aren't the ones that I'm talking about, believe it or not. It was other members of the congregation that just wanted to make sure I knew what the score was. Beep. Every time Georgia did something or Florida didn't do something, beep. Well, after a while, you feel like Pavlov's dog. Is that the right name? You know, that you're trained to do this. And what was funny to me is these were not Florida fans and they were not Georgia fans. They were just other people in the congregation wanting to share their day with me. How kind. Bless their little hearts. And so it got to the point that I thought, in case you didn't know, I am from Jacksonville. That is my hometown. And Jacksonville hosts the Florida-Georgia game every year. It's probably the largest outdoor party we ever host. And so it's not unusual that many of my friends would be, my hometown friends would be at the game. But they, again, were not the people texting me. Beep. And so I'm writing this sermon. Beep. Editing this prayer. Beep. And so now all of a sudden, I don't have the most Christian attitude of love and compassion. So as I'm writing this sermon, I'll say, I will give y'all something to beep about if that's what you really want to do. So we come to Reformation. Reformation. And there's three parts of that word that got my interest this week. First of all, it is that prefix, re. And re, as our English folks know, means again and again. It can indicate repetition, to repeat again and again. But it also indicates a backwards motion, a withdrawal, a movement to the back. And then you have the verb form, which means to bring together, to combine, to create. And then you have the suffix, ation. And that is an action or a process, the result of an action of a process. So you have something being formed again and again, whether by going forward or by going backwards, and then you have the result of that. And so the reformers in the church at the time of Martin Luther believed that the church had become corrupt. And they were worried, and they said, you know what, it really, really needs a change here. And we have to get back to preserving what is most important from the Word of God, and we have to go forward doing what we think is important. And so as I sat there and I thought about this, and again, remember I was getting beeped constantly, so it's sometimes I thought, well, maybe I don't have to make it real formal or real theologically strong. I'll just put it in terms that people can understand. And it basically had to do, two things came to mind. And one was the labyrinth, and one was the maze. Now, many of you know we have a labyrinth out front, and the labyrinth is one of those great things that, in all honesty, if you just stay on the path, you can't get lost, you can't go in the wrong direction. You just put your foot one step in front of each other, and sometimes you're going to feel like you're going backwards. The labyrinth is designed that way. And sometimes you're getting close to the cross. The labyrinth is designed that way. And then other times it seems to take you away and then bring you back. But for some folks in this church, that has never been an issue. They stay on the path. Step by step, it goes to the left, it goes to the right, and they're all okay with that. But I would tell you, in the life of the church, and maybe in your own life, I know in my life, Sometimes it seems more that the Christian walk is not the labyrinth, but the maze. And a maze is a series of things that purposely have dead ends. And where the labyrinth allows you just to keep walking and you'll get there, the maze is not that way. The maze is one that even if you keep walking, you can end up at a dead end. You have to go backwards and retrace your steps. You try a different path. Maybe that gets you through. Maybe it doesn't. Maybe it gets you partway through, and then you come back and forth again. So as we're sitting here on Reformation Sunday, some of us feel like we're going backwards. Some of us feel like we've made a wrong turn. And others of us think, nope, if I just keep walking step by step, I'll get there. And that truly, I think, in many ways, is the history of the church and is the history of this church and is the history of our own lives of faith. Because we are people and the church as a body of people is something that constantly needs reforming. We need that back and forth. We need the ability to keep walking in a straight line, but we need the ability to recognize when we've got ourselves cornered in a place of a spiritual maze that we are not supposed to be. Why does the church? Why do we as individuals need reforming? Well, from all of those involved in the Reformation, it was very clear. Something we should never forget, and that is that we are who we are. We are sinners. And part of our openness in terms of walking this walk of faith is to remember that we have the ability to stumble. We have the ability to be fallible. And so we have to have that ability to be flexible, to go backwards, to go forwards, always based on where the Word of God is leading us. You know, no matter how hard we try, there is no aspect of our lives that is unaffected by this sin. And we can kid ourselves about it, and we think we can be doing a darn good job, and we can make sure that everybody around us knows we're doing a darn good job. But God is not fooled. So even with our best endeavors and our highest aspirations, we all understand that we are prone to sin and to error. The Westminster Confession of Faith asserts, and I love this about it, they say, "Councils may err, and many have erred," past tense. So we as a denomination openly understand that we may have a problem. We may have made bad decisions. We may have gone in the wrong direction. But if we stay faithful to the Word of God, that we will back up and we will get back on the path. So if individuals have a problem with sin, churches as an organization of individuals have even a bigger problem. And we do it over and over again, and sometimes we go back and sometimes we go forward. But one of the things that we do as a congregation is we try to stay open to that being reformed, going backwards, going forwards. Now, I would tell you in many ways, as you probably know, that we here at Forest Hills Presbyterian have no problem with reformation. When you look at what we do just from a bizarre standpoint, how we take items that are broken, how we fix them, how we change them, how we put them back together, how we glue them, is one way that we understand that whole reformation process. We've seen it worked out in our lives. But the other thing we know, especially when you talk to the crafters and you talk to the Furniture Friday folks, is that sometimes the path they started on is not where they ended up. Many times we think we're going to put something together this way, we're going to paint it this color, we're going to glue it with something else, and we're going to put this kind of tag on it, and it doesn't work out that way. And so in some ways we have to take that step back. We have to go backwards just a step or two. We've got to look at it again and say, okay, plan A did not work. What is our plan B? What is God calling us to do? What is God calling us to be? How are we to take these things, these scraps, these pieces, and put them together for something beautiful for God? And so I think that back and forth reminds us constantly in the work that we do here in the church, in the work that we do in the community, that we are reformed and always being reformed. Again and again and again, we repeat that which is good. And when it is not good, we back up. And we take a look at where we are and we say, we've got to do something different here. You know, I know in my own life of faith, just about the time I get one thing taken care of, we did these prayer beads at our spiritual renewal Sunday. And I'm real good about those prayer beads, and I've got those prayer beads beside my bed, and I have now a routine that I do with those beads to kind of help me remember to continue to pray, a little bit better focus, because like a lot of people, I can start out praying and I can get to my grocery list so fast it'll make your head spin. But sometimes with a little aid, it helps and I can stay on the path. And so I think things like that remind us again and again and again how even when one area of our life seems to come together in the right way, we have other areas of our life that needs to come together. And sometimes the only way that can happen is if we feel like we are going through that maze, is we take a step back, move in another direction. Now, if we were to go back to the labyrinth, especially at times when we are on the right path, then we can remember that no matter how many twists and turns, the direction for this, as long as we stay close to the Word of God, is not so much in our hands. We just keep walking. We just keep listening. We just keep learning. And it doesn't matter how many times we are interrupted, beep, by things important or trivial, by things where disaster has struck or happiness is here, that in listening to that Word of God and always staying open and flexible to forward, to backward, to formation, to reformation, that we will get to the place that we are meant to be. And that is the foot of the cross. Amen, my friends.